Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you. Songs I think I ever learned by heart when I became a Christian. God wants us to come home to Him. Those of us who are weary, the Bible says, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, come to Him, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Today we're going to be in chapter 6 of John. We're going to be back in the book of John this morning. And you know, as I was thinking about this, you know, He's telling us to come home and that we're all sinners. I know we don't like that term, but before we're saved, we're called sinners. And after we're saved, we're called saints. But the Bible says that all of us need to be saved. And this morning we're going to talk about another miracle, a miracle with a message. Remember all of the miracles in the book of John. At the end of the book of John, in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, He says, "These things have I written." He's talking about these signs have I written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing that you might have eternal life. And so as we get to chapter 6 this morning, this will be the fourth miracle that Jesus has actually done. And as we see the fourth miracle, we'll see the fact that this is another creative miracle. We've seen one creative miracle before, the fact that Jesus created the wine out of the water. And it's amazing that the two creative miracles that He does, He turns the water into wine, and then He takes the bread and the fishes, we'll see this morning, and He multiplies that. And both of those creative miracles speak of His coming remembrance. He tells us, "This do in remembrance of me." And He talks about taking the bread and the cup as communion. It's remembered because His body was broken, as the bread is, and His blood was shed. And so that's why we do that. But it's amazing to me, I was thinking about it this morning on the way over here, that He turns the water into wine, and then a little bit later on in another chapter or so, he tells the lady at the well that He's the living water. And here in this chapter, He's going to take this little bit of bread and turn it into a lot of bread and a lot of fish, and He's going to say, "I'm the bread of life." Remember, the whole reason John writes this book is that we might believe. I know many people believe on Jesus Christ, and they believe He exists, and they believe He came, and all kinds of things. But if you've not believed that you need to be saved, and you've asked Him to forgive you and ask Him to save you, that's what that song's all about that we just got through singing. Because He says every one of us are sinners. And every one of us need to come to the Savior and ask for forgiveness. And when we do, that's considered coming home to our Father who's in heaven, because He wants all of us to be forgiven. He wants all of us to be saved. But the only way we're going to make it is if we ask Him to forgive us and ask Him to save us, because Jesus died on that cross for our sins. Let's read about the first 14 or 15 verses of John chapter 6. Remember in chapter 5, He's also spoken about, He's also done a miracle of healing a man on the Sabbath, and then He spoke about His deity and who he really was. And we're going to see the same thing happens in chapter 6. He says in chapter 6 of John, "After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain. There he sat with his disciples." Verse 4. "Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered and said to him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little.' One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?' Then Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost.' Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who has come into the world.'" Now, as we look at this section of Scripture this morning, he says, first of all, after these things. Now, Jesus has been over in Jerusalem and Judea, that area, and he's been performing signs. It's amazing how John writes about, he writes these signs that we may believe. Remember, I said that when John writes about a sign, he said it is a miracle with a message. Because behind every miracle is a message that Jesus is God. That Jesus is God over time, space, matter. He's God over nature. He's God over creation. He's God over life and death. He's God over sicknesses and diseases. He's God over everything. And as we see here, we're going to see him pictured as the bread of life, because in the Old Testament, what happened? Moses fed Israel, and they weren't happy with what he gave them. And guess what? Jesus is going to feed them, and these folks aren't going to be happy either. The more I read this Bible, the more I see the New Testament is pictured in the Old Testament. And it's amazing how many times you look in the Old Testament and see the things that happen, and then you see something that happens in the New Testament, and God just really brings out the truth about who he is and what he wants us to see. He wants us to see that Jesus is God, that he came down to earth as God in human flesh, and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And we need to see beyond the miracles. We need to see beyond the things that are just right in front of us, because God wants us to see him for who he is. That's the real miracle, that we see him, who he is, and why he came and what he wanted to do for us. Because every time he's talked to these people, the only place that he's really gotten anything done was with the Samaritans. And everybody else, nobody wants to really understand what Jesus says. They're looking for the signs. They're looking for the signs. They're looking for the signs. And they don't get beyond the signs to who Jesus really is. Because every time a sign is done, he wants us to show us that he is God. Not that he can fill us and make us happy, healthy, wise, and all these things that people want out of Jesus. But if that's the kind of Jesus we have, we're in trouble. Jesus didn't come to make us happy, as I said, I think, last week or the week before. But he came to make us what? Holy. That's why Jesus came. And so he says, after these things, after he's performed the the miracle, and He's healed the man who was laying by the pool, and He did it on the Sabbath, and He does it on purpose. And then they chase Him down, and he tells them who He is, that His Father's been working, and He's been working until now. And He makes Himself equal with God, and they want to kill Him because they understand that He says He's God. And you know, that's where it comes down to, is you either have to believe He's really God and you love Him because He's God, or you'll hate Him because He says He's God. And so many people want the Jesus that they've made up, but they don't want the Jesus of the Bible. So He says, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee. He's going to another area to show some other people who He really is. And then He says, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And then a great multitude followed Him. Notice it says, because they saw His signs which He performed on those who were diseased. That's why they followed Him. Remember back in chapter 4 where it says the woman at the well believed because of His word. And then it says that the rest of the Samaritans believe because of His word. They're believing because of signs. That's all they want, is the health, wealth, prosperity. Who wouldn't want a Jesus that would heal them and make them healthy and wealthy and feed them anytime He wants? And He says, and Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. Maybe, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 18 speaks of Moses. And Moses says that there's going to be another prophet like me. Remember, Moses fed the people in the wilderness with the bread from heaven, but it really wasn't Moses that fed them, but it was God that fed them. But as we're going to see, the people say that Moses fed them. So it's amazing how we decide that other people have done what God has done. And so He says, now the Passover, remember, this is the greatest feast of the Jews. That's where Jesus, it's a picture of Jesus dying on the cross, being slain for our sins, because every time they would kill all those lambs, it was a picture of Jesus, who was the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. He says, a feast of the Jews was near, verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards Him, He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this He said to test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. See, here comes this great multitude. It's later in the evening. Jesus has been going all day, and they go up on the mountain, and this multitude follows them. And He says to Philip, Philip lived around this area. Maybe that's why He spoke to Philip. I don't know exactly. Philip was the guy that I believe said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So maybe he was still checking Him out. But you know, God is always testing us. Did you know that? He's always testing us to see what we're going to do when we get in a tough situation. And here He speaks to Philip, and He says, so what shall we do, Philip? And if you read some of the other Gospels, what happens is the disciples basically, if you read the other Gospels, say, look, let's send them all away. Let's send these people away because there's no way we can feed them. And that's what we do a lot of times, is we try to avoid the situation. We try to pretend that what's going on in life is not real. And we try to avoid what's going on. And we want to get rid of the problem, get rid of the situation. But it's still there. The disciples say, just get rid of these people. We can't feed them. Let's get rid of them. You know, and that's what God wants us to do, is every time we get to a situation, He wants us to figure out who is our source of everything in life. Where does our bread come from? Where does our satisfaction come from? Who are we going to trust when times get tough? Who are we going to trust when nobody else can help us? What are we going to do? Where are we going to turn to? And that's the situation they're in, because there's a great multitude. If you read the other Gospels, it's amazing. This is the only miracle that John actually records, that the other three Gospels record, because it's a very important miracle because Jesus is saying He's the bread of life. And this is the place where everybody really just walks off from Jesus because He's not the Jesus they want. He's not the Jesus they want. He's the Jesus of the Bible. Here He says this to test Him because He says He knew what He was going to do. Jesus knew what He was going to do. See, have you ever realized that nothing has ever occurred to God? That Jesus always knows what's happening in this world. Did you know that? That no matter how tough it is, no matter how bad life gets sometimes to us, how rough it gets, God has not been caught unaware. He knows everything that goes on in our lives, and He knows it intimately. Did you know that? He knows every little detail of our life. Because it says that he even knows when a hair of our head falls off. He says He knows when the birds of the air fall. And if He cares for the birds of the air, how much more does He care for us, right? And so if He knows all that, just remember that God knows everything that's going on in our life. He knows what sickness we're in, what situation we're in, what problems going on. And He knows what He's going to do. But the question is what are we going to do when the times get tough? Who are we going to turn to? What are we going to do? And he speaks to Philip, and Philip comes up with a standard answer. You know, Philip answered in verse 7, said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. And he comes up with a standard answer. Look, even if we had about 8 months worth of wages, we couldn't even buy enough food for all these people. And then when we get down to the end here, we're going to see in verse 10 and 11, it says there was about 5,000 men. And if you go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll see that there were women and children. So there may have been 15,000 or 20,000 people that Jesus was going to feed with two little fish and five barley loaves. He's going to feed probably 15,000 or 20,000 people. We don't know exactly, but there was 5,000 men plus women and children. And you know, when you got a woman, you probably got at least one or two kids, right? So, I mean, you add that up, that probably ends up 15,000 or 20,000 people. If you got every one of them's got a wife, that makes 10,000. If they got one child, that makes 15,000. They got two children, that makes 20,000. So here we are, and Philip just says, how are we going to feed all these people? Even if we had 8 months worth of wages, you know, a denarii was 1 day's worth of wages is what it was. If you worked all day, they would give you a denarii. And so he says, even if we had 200 denarii, there's no way we could even begin to feed these people and just give them a little bit. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, you know, we don't see Andrew but a couple of times. And both times we see Andrew, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. This time he brings a little boy to Jesus. Another time he brings Peter to Jesus when Peter gets saved. And another time there's somebody wanting to know about salvation, and Andrew brings another person to Jesus. So every time we find Andrew, he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. And that's what we need to be doing. Because Jesus is the solution to all of life's problems. He is our satisfaction. He's the one we look to for life and everything else. Simon Peter says to him, here he comes up, and he said, well, you know, here's a little boy. Verse 9, here's a lad. And he's what he says is, there's a little boy here. Notice he says, who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many? So Philip says that they may have a little. And then there's a little boy who has five barley loaves and two small fish. And these two small fish, these weren't like salmon or anything. They were like two little old pickerel or something, like little, you know, tiny fish. Little old small fish. And so the emphasis is on the little. How can we feed them with so little? They wouldn't even get but a little. Here's a little boy with a little bit of fish. And then these five barley loaves, the barley loaves are like the poor people's grain. It's like what you'd feed almost the animals. It's what the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, that, you know, how the barley sells for so much because the good grain is gone. But this is what you usually feed to the animals. And then verse 10, Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the place is a nice, soft, grassy area. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So here he says, Jesus took the loaves, and in the taking of the loaves, he first thing he does, what does he do? He gives thanks for what the Father's about to do. And that's what we need to do in life, is we need to give thanks for what God's going to do in our life before He ever does it. Because, see, God can do whatever He wants to do. But if He doesn't heal us, if He doesn't fix the situation, we can still give thanks. Remember what it says over in Philippians about don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, with praise and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. God wants us to thank Him for who He is and what He's capable of doing, but yet He may not always deliver us. I mean, isn't that what Daniel said and his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said, hey, our God can deliver us, and we're going to love Him and we're going to praise Him, but even if He doesn't, we still love Him. We still praise Him. But He got thrown in the fire. They got delivered out of the fire. Now, He doesn't always deliver us, but He still loves us and He's still there with us through the situation. He distributes them. So in His hands, as He's taking the loaves, He's breaking His loaves up and it's just multiplying in His hand. And He just keeps handing out bread, handing out bread, handing out bread, handing out bread. And notice he says he distributed them to the disciples, and then the disciples distributed them to those sitting. You know, I thought about this morning. You know, we always read through this stuff, and we don't think that much about it. But think how long it took to distribute this bread and this food amongst 5 or 10 or 15 or 20,000 people. That took a little while, didn't it? This just didn't happen in a minute. Even though it did here, and as we read it, it seems like it, bam, it happened. But no, it took a little bit longer than that. And then it says the disciples distributed it to those sitting down. And then they did likewise of the fish. So not only they took the bread first and distributed it, then they came back and distributed the fish as much as they wanted. This wasn't, here, let me pull you a little piece off the edge and you have a bite, you have a bite, and you have a bite. Everybody had as much as they wanted. Nobody went away hungry that day. Nobody went away dissatisfied, unless they didn't like bread and fish. And I imagine everybody did because they didn't have much choice. That was about all the people had in that time in that area. He says, so when they were filled, He said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. So there's leftovers even. So then it takes time for His disciples to go gather up the rest of the remnants. And it says, therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Now, these baskets, they were not small baskets, they were large baskets. And notice there was 12 baskets, one for each of the disciples. So each of them had some bread to eat. Now there wasn't any fish because fish don't last very long, do they? They'll go bad. But they gather them up and they have 12 baskets full, filled 12 baskets. They filled them up. And then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is coming to the world. And then I'll just read one more verse. It says, therefore, when Jesus perceived they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. So what happens here? He feeds these people. They're getting satisfied. They don't see what Jesus really wants them to see. That he's the bread of life. He's the one who created everything. He's the one that can turn water into wine without the grape bush. The whole process. He can take bread and he can multiply it without the bushes and the trees again, and the whole process of baking. He can take two little old fish and without going into the ocean, and that whole process of spawning and eggs and fish being born and then fishing and getting them, he creates all over again. And that's what he wants them to see, that he is the one that can truly satisfy. He is the bread of life. He is the one who truly satisfies, that he's not here to meet our needs, but he's here because he's God. And the way he was going to meet their needs the first time, and the way he met our needs the first time, is he died on the cross. That's the way he satisfied us, is through dying on that cross, because when he died on that cross, he died for our sins and he died in our place. But no, they were looking for him for the next meal. They wanted to make him king, because who wouldn't want a king that could feed them and clothe them and make them healthy, wealthy, and wise and all that. But they just don't get why Jesus came. You know, and so many people just don't get why Jesus came. You know, our churches, I don't know why people have just distorted the story of Jesus. We're human beings. We love to think that there's something that we can do to get to heaven. But the Bible says that there's nothing we can do to heaven. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can't pay for it. Here, these people didn't deserve this food. They couldn't have been fed. I mean, I don't know where they would have went to try to get that many people fed at one time. There probably wasn't enough food in any village around there that they could have even fed that many people that quick. And so they were probably just going to go hungry that night. They were following him because of the signs. They didn't deserve to be fed. But what happens? Jesus loves them anyway. We just sang that song, "Oh, how I love Jesus," because he first loved me. And that's why we should love Jesus. Because he loves us and he died for us on the cross. Not because he can make us walk again or make us healthy or get us out of this place and get us back home or whatever it is that we think Jesus came for. But Jesus loves us. Jesus died for us. Jesus said that if we look to him for our true satisfaction, we'd be satisfied, because he is the one that really truly satisfies the longing of our soul. When you eat food, what happens a few hours later? Hungry again, that's right. But you know what? Jesus is going to tell them a little bit later on. He says, "Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." And everybody walks off because they don't understand. What he's saying is, if you partake of me as the real bread that came down from heaven, I will satisfy the greatest desire of your soul. That for a Savior and forgiveness of sins. And when you do that, he says, as he told to the lady at the well, you'll never thirst again. You'll never hunger again. Because guess what? You'll be satisfied in him. There's a guy that says, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied by him. When we are most satisfied in him. You know, that's what's supposed to satisfy us in life, is God. Not clothes, not houses, not cars, not people, not friendships, not fame or fortune. We're supposed to be satisfied in him. He is what satisfies. And if you don't know that, you need to ask him to forgive you and save you today. Because that's why he came. Not to clothe us and to feed us and to do all the other things. Even though those things do get done, he says, I came that you might have life and life abundantly. I came that you might have joy, and I came that you might have peace. Yes, he came for all those things. But those are byproducts of knowing him. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you for who you are. And we just, Lord, help us to know you as the God of the Bible. If there's even one here today that has not truly trusted you, because I know many churches, many places today, Lord, don't teach the God of the Bible. And just as these people are going to be offended in the next couple of sections of Scripture, because Jesus says he is the one who's the true satisfaction. He is the one that we're to look to for our whole being, our satisfaction. Then these people are going to get disappointed. They're going to walk off. And Lord, he asked Peter, he says, are y'all going to walk off too? Or he asked the disciples, and Peter says, to whom shall we go? Because you have the words of life. And that brings back the section of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8 where you said that man shall not live by bread alone, but we shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, we thank you that you are enough, because you came and you lived that perfect sinless life and you died on that cross for our sins that we might have eternal life. We love you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, or in a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free. And these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.